The vessel of God really needs no introduction. She comes with the spirit of Elijah. She comes with a dunamis power. She comes not with our own words, but the words of the Father. So I ask of you in obedience right now, would you just close your eyes for a minute and whisper these words to the Lord? Say, Father, speak to my heart. Help me to not be distracted. Help me to receive your word. I know you're here, and I receive in advance. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. At this hour, we introduce a son formally. And maybe not even to others. To this hour, for this hour, the woman of power. This woman is anointed of God. You're going to see her flesh, but it's the spirit of God that's coming out of her mouth. It is the word of God that's coming out of her mouth. You shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Yeah, you shall be witnesses. Let us receive at this hour. Doctor, minister, sister, Diane Holloway, receive her as she comes. Put your hands together, people. We're talking about a word from the Lord. That'll be good enough if it was Diane, but you need to put your hands together from a word, for a word from on high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. There's a sweet expression on each face. And I know that it's the presence of the Lord. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, oh, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we will lift our hearts and pray. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave. Oh Lord, when I leave, oh Lord, oh Father, when I leave this place. In this place. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Yes, He is. There's a sweet spirit, in this place. Yeah. And I know it's the spirit of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Shiloh. God is good. Woke us up this morning. Started us on our way. God, I tell you, I thank the Father for His son in the ministry, Reverend Dale LaRue Armstrong. He's a pastor par excellence. He's a brother and a father in the ministry for me. He's told me so. Thank you, Jesus. And I love him. He even texted me this morning and said, I tell you, the way Paul told Peter, preach the word. Praise the Lord. Praise. Give our pastor a hand, because he's a wonderful, wonderful man. I would like to take the time. Betty, this choir is awesome today. I'm telling you, the musicians, come on, y'all. This choir is beautiful today. Oh, my God. Jesus, praise the Lord. I would like my family in the back to stand. Thank you very much for supporting me. I got some grown kids back there and some grandchildren. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I won't be before you long. You've heard the scripture that I'm coming from. It's Isaiah 54:10-17. But I just want to take the time right now and just talk to you. Just a little, just talk to you. For some of us, you know, life is like a turbulent storm. Has anybody felt like they've been in a storm lately? It's a storm which is tossing and turning you like a sea, and it's causing a high level of stress in your life. Beloved, we're like ships sometimes, flung to and fro in the rush of life. Struggles, griefs, fears, pains, and troubles grips us. And we're driven by every wave and every splash. We're just crashing all over the place. We're like blind vessels headed with no port, no harbor, no rudder, no compass, no pilot. Simply floating at times. Sometimes you feel like you're just floating.
Yes.
And the waves are still surging and crashing all around you. Sometimes I believe we've lost our moral and our spiritual compass. And our faith anchor sometimes is just flapping and blowing in the wind. We feel like we're swallowed up by life's turbulent currents. We will not survive the violent sea without an anchor to keep us steady. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Does anybody need an anchor? An anchor. Chaos has invaded your minds. The slippery slide of moral decay, deceit, backbiting, lying seems to surround us. It's on every street. My street, your street, every street we cross. Confusion, loose values, as well as social turmoil, are just magnified reflections of the ethical collapse happening in our schools and in our homes and in our churches. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? As we struggle to accept the limitations of our own chronic conditions, in the news we're bombarded with shootings and disturbing stories about increasing secularization and criminalization of our upper, lower, and middle classes. In our towns and cities, we are confronted with abortion, child abuse, rape, drug abuse, and corruption by our own politicians. Am I talking to anybody? Most of our modern day churches are steeped in tradition and hell bent on doing things like we've always done them. While there's people out there on the street going to hell in a hay basket. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. A professional theologian once told me, he said, "Diane, always keep your eye on the providential hand of God. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forevermore. But he moves from revelation to revelation. He gives brand new mercies every day. Yet we sit in our cathedrals and we insist on selling fish and chicken dinners to subsidize our lack of giving of our tithes, talents, and gifts." I haven't read, beloved. I know it's getting very quiet up in here, up in here, up in here. I haven't read anywhere in the Bible where it says, "Kill a chicken to bring meat into my house." But I have read that Jesus fed 5,000 with two fish and some loaves. We seem more concerned. We seem to be more concerned with calling out our names and too embarrassed to lift our hands and call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And God said, if the church is just to us, we spend our time and God's money to build houses to promote justice and mercy for the less fortunate among us. Yet my Bible says, that which you do unto the least of thee, you do it unto me. Has anybody read that? Say amen, walls. In the midst of the sea of conflict, most of us sitting here right now today are struggling with our own personal confusion. Many of us have pondered the question, why is life so tough? We spend the first third of our lives discovering that we are alive, the second third of our lives trying to live our lives, and the last remaining part of our lives praying to God to keep us alive. Depression, oppression, addiction, rejection, and the stress of just trying to survive pushes us daily to an early grave. And for others, greed and lusting after sexy, glittery things have rendered our dreams aborted, corrupted aspirations, and missed opportunities. No matter how hard we struggle in our own strength, bills overwhelm us, loved ones leave us, and dreams and aspirations escape us. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, the old lady says, our bodies teased and taught with the wicked riddle of the signs of the time. The flowering gray on my head gives me what? Wisdom. All of a sudden, I can get a little wisdom. Amen? We sit here today with our minds ripped and torn over some loss that has disturbed our inner peace. Oh, you may not be worried about dwindling bank accounts or loss of security funds, but you are troubled, beloved. You're troubled. Many of us working in the church are tormented in our minds because someone said or have done something to us just this morning. What do you do when you've struggled all your life for harmony and tranquility, but now you're driven far from the peaceful shores? And times when you should be enjoying your life, you find that you're tossed and torn with sleepless night sweats. You always seem to be anxious about something. If it ain't one thing, then it's another. Your heart seems to always be full of fear. You fear that you are going to lose everything you worked hard for all your life. You're always afraid of loved ones are going to leave you, afraid that your family will not survive, afraid of what the doctor is going to say about your health. Someday, today, you're sitting there troubled in your mind, thinking. Some of you today are asking troubling questions in response to the chronic physical conditions that you have. Questions like, will I one day be bedridden? Will I have to quit my job? Will Jesus heal me? All these questions are ricocheting in your mind. You're anxious about money. The success you worked so hard for now only brings fear, distress, and anxiety as you head into your future. You're somewhat like Jacob, trying to move into the future after spending years struggling with his uncle Laban to be successful. Jacob struggled 14 years to marry a woman of his choice and struggled 20 years against Laban just to eke out a living. He wrestled with the man and prevailed. But just when he was headed to the next level of his life, when he should have been enjoying his life, on the journey he's confronted with Esau, his past. What or who is the Esau in your life? What is that thing that disturbs your peace? Is it the job? Cancer? Diabetes, divorce, bankruptcy, disgruntled employees? What's keeping you awake at night? What's stressing you out and turning your head gray? Is it the children?
your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your boss, an irritating neighbor? Or is it an aggressive coworker whose so-called intellectual wheels of progress is running rampant right over your face? You can't go back to Laban because he's behind you. And you can't go forward because Esau stands before you. What do you do when you're caught in an angry sea? What do you do when you find yourself headed into your future and running into what you fear the most? What do you do when you can't find peace anywhere? I know this isn't happening in Shiloh Baptist Church. Right? It's not happening here. I think, though, if we were honest with ourselves, all of us have had an angry sea experience. We've been a little seasick, and a few of us been a little shipwrecked. It is hard when you think you're drowning in life circumstances to swim above the tide or climb back to the top of the rock or even see the cross on the hill. But in the midst of the storm, we must always remember that we must be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the Lord, knowing that the Lord will make a way somehow. Amen? My grandmother said, I look back over my life and I think things over. And I can truly say that I've been blessed. Amen? How many saints we have here that can say they can look back over their life and think things over and see that they've truly been blessed? You may not know that God's been with you, but he's been with you every step of the way. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you for what you've done. I thank you for being God. I thank you for keeping me. I thank you for wrestling with me all night long. I thank you, Father, for your people showing up. I thank you, Father. Now, Father, move Esther Diane Holloway out of the way and let them see you. If you do these things, I'll be so grateful to give you praise, give you honor, and give you glory. Pray with me on this title. Things are gonna get better. Amen? Amen. I want to talk to you today just a little bit about peace, mind, and faith. Isaiah the prophet tells us that God will keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind stayed on God. Because that person has faith in God. Let's talk about the mind just a little bit. The mind is a complex place where an individual feels, perceives, thinks, wills, and reason. It's our intellect, our conscience, our mentality, our faculties, our brain. It is our place of power, if you will. The mind is the seat of our emotions. It is where grief plays out, fear and jealousy hangs out, unforgiveness camps out, anger first acts out, profanity, adultery, fornication, sexuality, and temptation lurks. Although the brain cannot feel pain, it perceives pain. And pain doesn't choose those who are old or young or sick or healthy. It just chooses randomly. In reality, when we suffer a loss, pain attacks our mind and breaks our heart. If someone or something we love is taken away, it hurts. It's hard to get the loss out of your mind. We often say, you know, that thing hurt me to my heart. Although the cause may be different, the feeling and result ends in pain. Whether it's the loss of something real or the loss of something imagined, in the mind, pain is real.
Loss leaves a feeling of heartbreak, heaviness, emptiness, and sadness. If you have ever been there, I mean, sure enough experienced loss, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You walk around as if in slow motion. You are in a thick fog. You are dazed. You are disconnected. You see people and things around you, but you don't see them. You hear sounds and people talking, but you don't hear. It's hard to focus. You can't just barely get through the routines of the day. Has anybody been there? Real or perceived, pain is real. In your mind, it can take you. You can take a vacation from a place where you were hurt, but you can't take a vacation from the torment of your mind. Amen? You feel your life taking a turn for the worse, and you think things will never get better. Someone once said, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And a lot of us just sit around all day wasting our minds. If we're not careful, it can become a PlayStation for evil. Yet, beloved, just like destruction begins in the mind, all great ideas also begin as a thought in the mind. And there is healing for your mind. Paul tells it like this. Amen? Paul tells us to constantly renew the spirit of our mind. Don't just comb your hair and put a hat on your head. That dresses up the outside. Rather, circumcise your mind. Cut away the old excess junk that only hides the real you and weigh you down. Restore your mind by reading the Bible and meditating daily. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, these are the things you should be thinking on. The Bible tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And we got some pretty unstable people around here. Oh, not in Shiloh now. Not in Shiloh. A double-minded person has two minds. He has a spiritual mind and a carnal, and he's carnal. He's spiritual and he's carnal. He just can't make up his mind. One day he's spiritual, next thing he's carnal. You don't know anybody like that. You know, you don't have somebody praising the Lord with a cigarette in hand. You don't know nobody like that. You don't know anybody like that. Praising the Lord, drinking liquor. You don't know nobody like that, right? You don't know nobody. Nobody you know. You can recognize him or her because they are like King David. David was a man after God's own heart, but he had a dark side. I bet you never heard that before, huh? Dance, David, dance. Anyway, David would sing God's praise one day and kill his best friend to cover up his sin the next day. Come here, Uriah. Double-minded Christians are inconsistent, fickle, wishy-washy. Depending on any given day, you are divided in your mind about the things of God and the things of the world. Oh, ye of little faith, one day you believe, the next day you're running around asking everybody what you should do. What causes us to be of two minds when we are in tight situations? Fear? Becoming anxious is a simple way of saying, I'm afraid. I'm becoming anxious. Anxious causes tight knots in the stomach and sweaty palms, severe headaches and ulcers, and can cause cancer. Good fear, however, is needed. It is a vital response to physical and emotional danger. If we didn't feel it, we can't protect ourselves from legitimate threats, but often we fear situations that are not life or death issues, and thus hang back for no good reason or take action that's inappropriate for a situation. But God tells us he did not give us a spirit of fear. Yes, yes, yes. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If we only have faith in God, faith is the condition for obtaining God's peace. Yes.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Remember, God is not a man, beloved, that will go back on his promises. Yes. Jesus promised that if you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, the door shall be opened. And faith is the key that unlocks the door. No matter what the situation, have faith in God. I don't care what the situation looked like. It could be one arm falling off, eye popping out. If God says you're healed, you're healed. You got to believe that you're healed. It is what Diane says, or the doctor says. What did God say? He said, by my stripes, you are. Amen. Faith acts like a thing is some. With faith, all things are possible. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the dead shall live again. Jesus told the woman with the issue, your faith has made you whole. Aren't you tired of your mind always resting in a seat of confusion, lounging in an armchair of negativity, resting in an overstuffed couch of criticism? Isn't helping you or nobody else. Stop complaining about things and get on your knees. Don't you want to leave that seat of discomfort? Get up and stand on the promises of God. Think on things that bring peace. Our text says, oh, you afflicted ones, tossed with tempests and not comforted. Behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphire. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stone. All your children shall be taught by the Lord. Oh, Lord, we need some teaching. Well, all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. That's an awesome promise, beloved. Beloved, get a new lease on life. If you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to keep getting what you've always gotten. Amen? Jesus said, the peace that I have, I give you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn of me. And learn means to grow in Christ. And to grow means to steady upward progression towards peace. Beloved, it is not the outward storms and stresses of life that defeat and disrupt life. It is the inner conflict and distresses, the language we tell ourselves in our mind. God asked Adam, who told you you were naked? Who told you? Who told you you'd never make it? Who told you? Who told you you were stupid? Who told you? Who told you that you can't open that business? Who told you? What language are you listening to in your head that's defeating you? Who told you? God covers us and put us in a peaceful garden. You ought to get a song in your heart. Starting today. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon. Get a song in your heart. Yeah. No weapon. It won't work. Yeah. What are the weapons of the enemy? Job loss? No weapon. Car repossessed? No weapon. Wife and husband leaving? No weapon. Recession? No weapon. Money gone? No weapon. Cancer? No weapon. Heart condition? No weapon. Diabetes? No weapon. Child acting up? No weapon. Accident, murder, suicide? No weapon formed against me. Yeah. It won't work. You need to speak to the enemy. Amen? Amen. We need to get a song in our hearts. Speak to the enemy. Tell him, hey, when the man says, I come in the name of the Lord. Who's you? Who's you? Bring it. You know, I would always say, I said, you got to bring one to get one. And I'm telling Satan, you got to bring it on. Come on. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Because I want God's blessed peace. Peace is the absence of confusion, chaos, clashes, conflicts and contradictions, struggles, scraps, skirmishes, and scuffles. It's the freedom from quarreling. Peace is order, contentment, calmness, coolness, composure, serenity, and tranquility. No strife, no confusion, no bitterness, no war, no destruction, no lie. Peace! God's peace is blessed quietness in the midst of a storm. When everybody else is falling all apart and going crazy, you have an anchor that holds you. God gives us perfect peace, alone, wholeness, nothing broken. And God's blessed peace produces the fruits of the Spirit. If you want to see if somebody is saved, watch their fruit. Do they have fruit of love, joy, peace, kindness, generosity, fidelity, hospitality, self-control? I'm going to leave that alone. How do you obtain God's peace? Start by forgiving those who hurt you. It's hard to do, but it's necessary. Not for them, beloved, but for you. Because don't you know, most people, when they hurt you, you run around talking to everybody, talking about what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. They're home someplace sleeping. Amen? Proverbs tells us to treat our enemies with kindness. By doing this, you'll heap coals of kindness on the heads, and the kindness will burn through to the hearts. Through this I would add, burn right through to the hearts. To this I would add prayer, because prayer changes things. The Bible says that prayer, amen. The Bible says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Now get this, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And I'm a living witness that God hears and will show up in your broken situations on time. Yes, he will. He'll show up. I tell the enemy like this, you can talk about me much as you please, but I'm going to talk about you when I get on my knees. But Christ says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. In those times when it's most difficult, remember to take it to the Lord in prayer. And remember, if they crucified Christ, they're going to crucify you. But no cross, no crown. And Christ, it is Christ to bear the cross alone. Beloved, God has been good to me. In spite of me. In spite of me, he's been good to me. He teaches me how to have blessed peace and joy divine. When trouble surrounds you, God's peace will give you joy, unspeakable joy. The kind of joy that the world can't give you and the world can't take it away. You should start today telling yourself, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. God, he who starts a good work in me, he's able to perform it. God will never leave me nor forsake me. I'm the head and not the tail. Somebody out there, I'm the head and not the tail. My steps are ordered by the Lord. He leads me and he guides me beside the still waters. He covers me through the valleys, Father. The shadows of death, and I will fear no evil. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. They prepare the table right in front of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You ought to make up in your mind today that no demon in the hell house, church house, your house or my house going to take my peace. I kind of like the way Vicky Wyman puts it. Yeah, maybe I do need these, huh? Look at the Holy Spirit. I like the way Vicky Wyman puts it. She says, King Jesus, the lily of the valley. The wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's a burden bearer, a heavy load share, a bridge over troubled water, a doctor and a lawyer. He's a bright and morning star, the rose of Sharon, the great I am. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's a Jehovah Shammah. He'll always be there and always be on time. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's my first, last, and my very best friend. He's with me in the morning. He's with me with the evening. His name is J-E-S-U-S. Jesus, somebody ought to know who he is. Yeah, somebody ought to know who he is. Jesus, he cares for me and he cares for you. And things, my beloved, are going to get better for you. Things are going to get better for you. Things are going to get better for you. You turn to someone and say, beloved, things are going to get better for you. Amen. I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Oh, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Be alright, be alright, be alright. Oh, mother done told me. Mama done told me everything's gonna be alright. Oh, mother told me everything's gonna be alright. My mother told me everything's gonna be alright. Be alright, be alright. Alright, the Holy Ghost done told me, hey! The Holy Ghost done told me everything's gonna be alright. Oh, the Holy Ghost done told me everything's gonna be alright. The Holy Ghost done told me everything's gonna be alright. Be alright. Be all right. Be all right. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God's going to give you some peace? There shall be peace in the valley. The doors of the church are open. Is there anyone? Oh, I've got a feeling everything's alright. Yeah. The doors of the church are open. Will there be one? Will there be one that will come? Stop being tossed to and fro like a ship without an anchor. This is good ground. Whoa. Oh yeah. Be alright. Be alright,
be alright.
Is there one? Whoa.